Welcome back to our study of Numbers. We are at the end of chapter 11, and we're going to pick up with verse 33. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague.
So God gave them what they wanted, and while the food's still in their mouth, God's anger stirred with them because of their fleshly lust rather than desiring what God provides for them. And so it's actually an epidemic disease. Takes many of them out, you understand? And here again, I see principles all in this, how this relates to people today, especially looking at it from ministry perspective and thinking of man shall not live by bread alone, but of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so I think of the word of God being food, right? The food that feeds your spirit, that sustains your spirit. And how so many people today do not like the food that God gives. They don't like the messages, you understand? They don't like the mandates or the instructions of God. They want what they want. And the bottom line is, God will give you the desires, but He'll send leanness to you. You understand? I mean, if you want it, you can have it, but it'll cost you in the end. God doesn't force people to obey Him. He just lets you know there's a consequence if you don't obey Him. And so these people forget about God. Instead of being God-centered, they're self-centered. Now, the amazing thing about this is all you have to do is look up and see the cloud. So it's not like the presence of God's not there. In other words, that cloud is a witness of God being there. If it's daytime, at night, then the pillar of fire, God's there. But they're ignoring God. They just hung up on themselves. And this is what I see today with so many people. They're so hung up on themselves, they're not interested in the things of God. They're more interested in the things of the world than the things of God. As a matter of fact, we were talking this afternoon, and I told Heather, I said, I'm going to tell you this. People are addicted to evening news. They're addicted to it. Just like someone addicted to cocaine or alcohol, they're addicted to it. They can't go through the day without hearing what the world has to say, but not real interested in what God has to say. What would happen if we spend as much time in the Word, learning what God says, as we do listening to what the world says? We'd be different people. You understand? You wouldn't walk around worried and oppressed. I had a phone call yesterday or day before yesterday, one. Somebody asked, you know, all concerned if I thought, you know, we're getting ready to go into World War. I don't think about that. I think about the kingdom of God. I'm not thinking about the kingdoms of the world other than they'll all become the kingdoms of my God. And that God is going to look out after His children. And so I don't know, you know, I don't know what's going on. I know there's unrest all over the world. And the bottom line is people are so self-centered. That's what spawns the wars, you understand. That's what spawns the divisions in nations and all this, is people are so self-centered. They want what they want. They're not looking at what God wants. And as born-again believers, we should be looking at what God wants. And we should desire the things of God, not the things of the world. I was praying yesterday morning. And all of a sudden, I just heard this. The brevity of life and the longevity of eternity. People don't get these things in perspective. Eternity's forever. But what are we doing to prepare forever? We just want what we want now. God had a provision for the Israelites. He wanted to take them into a land that he had promised them. But they didn't want to go because they didn't want to put forth the effort. Like so many people today. It was too hard. Put too many demands on me. Everybody wants it easy. Nobody wants to work. Well, we're to do the works of the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to get out of this natural mentality of what I want. What you want may kill you. That's what happened here. It ended up killing them. How many people have desired toys, young men, and end up the toy killing them? Cars, motorcycles, whatever. You understand? Oh, they got what they wanted, but was it worth it? And that's what we've got to look at. It's a long picture. God will look out after our best interest. We won't. We look out after what I want. What I want. What I want right now. I want it and I want it now. I don't want to wait. Yet he says, wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord renew their strength. Mount up with wings as eagles. Right? They run and don't become weary. They walk and they don't faint. The song says, teach me, Lord, to wait. Well, let's learn from the example. Let's see what happened to them. Let's don't repeat it. I don't want to upset God. I don't want him angry. You with me? Not at me. So I need to do things God's way.
Verse 34. And he called the name of the place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted.
That actually means graves of the gluttony. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned that before.
Yeah.
Graves of gluttony. And so many people died from this epidemic disease that came upon them because of their lust for meat. Food should never be your God. You eat to live. You shouldn't live to eat. Keep it in perspective.
Good. And the people journeyed from Kibroth Hattaavah unto Hazeroth and abode at Hazeroth.
So that means the cloud moved, right? So the cloud moved from that place of gluttony, the graves of the gluttons, okay? He moved from that place to Hazeroth, where they set up camp again. That means the cloud stopped. And here again, that's being led by the Spirit of God. Move when God moves, stop when God stops. Stay where God is. Don't try to get ahead of God. And so many people want to lead God. They don't want to be led by God. Things are going bad, they want to get out. If things are going to good, they want to stay. God may want you to move when things are going good, like he did with Philip. Here he's having a citywide revival, as we would call it. God says, go minister in this deserted place to this one man, is the essence of it. We've got to learn to follow the Spirit.
Now, chapter 12. This chapter documents Miriam and Aaron's criticism of Moses and the Lord's response to their criticism.
Now, I want you to think about this. Aaron and Miriam, not only brother and sister of Moses, but also they are there to assist Moses. Aaron being the high priest. I mean, they're there to help Moses. That you're going to find that they criticize Moses. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
The person you're supposed to be helping, you find fault with him. You got to get out of that kind of thinking. You can find fault with anybody. You can choose to look at good. You can choose to look at bad. Here's the thing. Did God set them? Then do you think you're smarter than God? Do you think God didn't know they had faults? If he went for faultless people, he wouldn't have any. But what's so amazing to me is how God can take fallible men and do some tremendous things with him. Who was perfect? Don't tell me, Job, that's complete. He's complete toward God. But even when God confronted Job, he had to get the record straight because Job didn't have everything just in the right order, you understand. He was a good man. But he had some wrong thoughts. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And so, be cautious. If God puts you there to help somebody, help them, don't hurt them. If you can't say something good, then just don't say anything. You know, back when one of the leading ministers got into some problems and got booted out of a denomination and all that, I'd gone to a barbershop, and I didn't know the person. It's not like I was patronized the place or anything, And when I sat down in the chair, he said to me, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "Why do you ask?" He said, "Well, you look like one." I said, "Well, what does a preacher look like?" But then he immediately asked me, "What do you think about so-and-so, this minister that had fallen?" I said, "Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't. I don't think about it. I'm not going to put my mind on that. I'm not looking for smut. I'm not a buzzard. Buzzards look for rot. They look for roadkill. I'm not interested in that. I'd rather soar with the eagles, you understand? Let's stay above this stuff. Not to be critical of other people. I can find fault with anybody. You can find fault with me. But I can find good in people, and you can probably, if you look long enough, you can find good in me, you understand?
Before we move on, let's tell the account of your grandfather.
My grandfather?
Yes.
Okay.
This is worth
it. And my grandfather was not a born-again believer. He was a man of absolute integrity, highly respected in the community. And they used to have a particular store. I can remember this because he would take me there. And the old men, I call them old men. He died at 53. But the farmers would gather around. He was a farmer. They'd gather around up there and they'd talk. And one particular day, one of them said something about another and criticizing another person that wasn't there. And they went around, and my grandfather's name was Harry, and they said, "Harry, what do you think?" He said, "I think he has the most beautiful blue eyes I've ever seen." You know, stop that whole conversation. You can get in with the gossip session, or you can refuse to enter into it, and you can set the standard rather than allowing them to do it. I'm not interested in listening to the faults of people. In fact, people will call me, you know what so-and-so said about you? I said, no, I don't want to. You don't want to know? I said, no, I don't want to know. Then I don't have to deal with it. If I meet that person on the street, I have no hard feelings. But otherwise, you're going to have to fight these things. So I don't need to know. I told them on live stream, cut the comments off. I'm not interested in the comments. I don't need you to tell me that it was good or it was bad. We're not working for people. We're in this for the Lord. I want to hear the Lord say, well done. I don't care how many people say it. People can say, well done, and God say, why didn't you? Mm-hmm. Get your mind off other people. Quit looking for people to play on your ego. Get rid of the ego. Mm-hmm. And just follow God. You don't criticize them and don't listen to the criticism. A good friend of mine who's now dead, seasoned minister, I had a tremendous respect for this man. But I was just young in ministry, and we had him in. He lived in another state, and I invited him in to speak, and we went out after service that evening, and we was talking, and when I have a guest like that, I want them to do the talking so I can listen and learn, okay? And he told me, he said, don't ever listen to the praise of men, and their criticism won't bother you. But if you're leaning on the praise and you're looking for the accolades of men, then criticism can devastate you. And I've never forgotten that, and so I don't pay any attention. Honestly, I know if I did good or I didn't do good. I don't need anybody telling me one way or the other. You understand? You know. You know it yourself. And what it does, it keeps the flesh out of the way. Where, you know, people start bragging about you, you get the big head. I've had the devil to brag about me. Mm-hmm. Woman grabbed my hand, but shook my hand off. That's the best searching I've ever heard in my life. And this is the devil talking. And I knew it was the devil. I said, get me out of here. I don't need the devil telling me these are the men of the Most High God who come to show us the way.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
Paul cast that devil out, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
No, you don't want the devil praising you. Mm-hmm. Don't listen to the stuff. Don't listen to the praise. Don't listen to the criticism. You understand? Just look to God and thank God. If he's used you, then thank God that he, out of all the billions of people on earth, he would use you. Isn't that amazing? That ought to humble you rather than make you like, look at me.
Okay. First one. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman.
Oh, they didn't like his wife.
Oh, my.
Yeah. You didn't like the wife, so you talk about her.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They said, does the Lord speak only to Moses? You want to go ahead and read the second verse?
And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it.
Okay, so they had recalled the time that God had spoken to the entire nation. And they disregarded the fact that it was Moses to whom God spoke and appointed to be the leader of the nation. God spoke to Moses before he did Miriam and Aaron. You understand? Well, you know, God speaks to us too. You'd be surprised at the mentality of people that should have walking around sense. that would come in, and they just disregard common sense when it comes to the things of God, the things in a spiritual organization, and think, well, you know, we're all the body of Christ. We don't need a leader. You know, we're all equal. Well, we're not all equal. My fingers are not all equal. Are yours? But each one has a vital function. It's not about an equality. It's about functioning where God put you. Otherwise, there's a hindrance to the body. You follow me? And so it is in the body of Christ. We have to learn our position, our function. And so we need a leader. Now, common sense, the greatest sinner in the world, if he opens a business, knows that that business needs a head, and it's going to be him, you understand? But he knows that it needs a leader. Every corporation out here, they have a president, not two. They may have several vice presidents who assist the president. There's one president, you understand? One head. God put one head over the nation. Every nation, these nations have one head. One president, one prime minister, one king, whatever name they're going by, you understand, whatever title. It's one, but under that one, there are many assisting. Now, that one can't do it by himself, and they need that one to lead them and give them vision to take them in the direction they should go. But that one needs to be in tune with God. The problem with our churches today, the leader of the church wasn't set there by God. He was set there by people in so many cases. It's not that the Spirit of God put that person there. You ever heard of voting on the pastor or a search committee going out looking for a pastor? Crazy. Who does God want there? That's who should be there. And if God wants that person there, follow the leadership. God said it. God wanted Moses to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt and take them to the promised land. Follow him. Follow his lead. They wouldn't follow his lead. They didn't go in. You with me? They'd rather complain about the leader. Even his own brother and sister. Well, God speaks to us. I mean, he spoke there. He spoke to the whole nation there at Sinai. Who do you think you are? See, Korah had this problem too with Aaron. Who does he think he is? With the tribe of Kohath, too. I mean, the family of Kohath, too. You understand? And so, that mentality is still going on today. I had some guys to come to my office and tell me that I was, doing things wrong because the church wasn't supposed to have a leader. That everybody was equal. I said, so you tell me that in your assembly, that there's nobody that leads the assembly. You don't have a moderator. You don't have some. Aha, you have a leader. You with me? Quit vying for position. Get into position God's ordained for you. Bloom where you planted. That's the best place that you could ever be. And don't concern yourself with others. When Peter said, what about John? Modern day vernacular? Jesus said, that's none of your business. What's that to you? You just do what I told you to do. And that's what Aaron and Miriam should have been doing, what God told them to do, rather than trying to critique Moses. You don't like your wife, buddy. Well, you didn't marry her. So what's the big deal? You don't have to live with it. You better go along.
Really, that was none of their business anyway. They were making Moses' business their own business.
Right.
They weren't minding their own. And then when I look at that second verse, I just see pride all over that. That's just pride rising up. And we know what happens when pride rises up.
We don't want her in the family.
Yeah.
What?
We've probably all heard that a time or two. About somebody or some, you know, some gentleman. Verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth.
Now just this statement should be enough to tell you that Moses did not write the book of Deuteronomy. Somebody compiled the information. Moses documented the things as he went along. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so someone took the documentations of Moses and compiled them into Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It's not that Moses wrote them. And so I'm the meekest man on earth. Really? Something wrong with that picture, isn't there?
Yeah.
No. Well, the person that's compiling this says Moses, now note the terminology, he was more gentle than any man on earth. He was more gentle than any man on earth. He had a pretty good reputation when you look at it from that perspective, and yet he was not a weak man. You understand, he started out in Egypt killing somebody. Mm-hmm. Murder.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he's weak. But after 40 years on the backside of a desert, he learned some things. Then God could use him. And when God got ready for him to go, he saw who he was and he didn't have the ability to do it. You understand? If you think you have the ability, you're not ready. When you start realizing your inadequacies and unless God helps you, you can't do it, now you're ready. Now you'll have to depend on God instead of depending on you.
I like this account because there's so much we can learn from this. I appreciate Moses' response. I'm grateful that the Lord takes care of things. He'll fight the battles. But I was just thinking as we were talking about how many times we don't mind our own business. We're minding somebody else's business and the damage that does. And it happens in churches more than it should.
In no secular song, it says if you mind your own business, you won't be minding mine.
That's good. Okay. And the Lord spoke suddenly. He was taking care of business. He spoke suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. Come out, you three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out.
It wasn't Moses that called them out. You understand? Moses is not vindicating himself. When God heard the criticism, he immediately says, all right, Moses, Aaron, Mary, you come out. You come before me. I want to talk to you guys. You with me? In other words, it's God calling them on the carpet, not Moses. And you need to understand this. I've had the Lord just say to me, keep your mouth shut. Vengeance is mine, not yours. Don't you defend yourself. Don't you say anything. Don't say a word. You let me handle it. But boy, does that flesh want to say a word.
Mm.
I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Mama used to say, you don't have a piece to spare.
That's good. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth.
So he calls them out.
So does the Lord speak only to Moses? He was calling them. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not. So who is faithful in all my house? With him will I speak mouth to mouth, and apparently, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then, were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?
All right, let me just read this to you. This is my paraphrase of what that says, okay? Listen to me. If there's a prophet among you, I'll make myself known to him in a vision, and I'll speak to him in a dream. Now, let me stop there. If you'll look at that, you'll find out how God spoke to the prophets in the Old Testament. Now, you study the prophets, and you'll find that this is exactly how God spoke to them. Okay? But he went on to say, I'll speak to them, I'll make it known in a vision, speak to him in a dream. But I speak to Moses differently. I trust him with my household. And I speak to him with my mouth in an easily understandable way, not in the form of riddles. Now, you look at, you study the prophets, and there's going to be a lot of things you don't understand. Mm. You know, they're saying, it's like riddles or animals. Look at the book of Daniel, for instance. And look at, you know, what did Nebuchadnezzar see? He saw a beast. Daniel interprets. What is Daniel saying? Daniel's a prophet. What's Daniel seeing? Daniel's seeing beast. God's speaking to him in visions. He's having visions. He's seeing this. All your prophets, this is the way that it operates. Moses was different. There was not a prophet like him before or after until Jesus came on. Moses said God was going to raise up a prophet like unto him, one who God will speak to face, so to speak.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
And so Moses was different than anyone else, but Moses didn't pride himself in that. I mean, tell you, you get in the presence of God, he won't lift you up in pride, it will humble you. Yeah. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And I think this is why it could be said of Moses, he was the meekest man. Because he lived in the presence of God. It wasn't a one-time occurrence or a two-time occurrence on Mount Sinai or Mount Hor. No, he was constantly seeking the counsel of God. I don't know how to lead these people. He needed help. He needed to get in the presence of God. You understand? When he was up on the mountain, he came back down and shining. And they couldn't even look on him. Well, he didn't write, look at me. No. What does he do? He covers his face so he can communicate what God has communicated with him. But when he goes into the presence of God, he takes the veil off. This glow is nothing compared to the brilliance of God. You understand?
Yeah.
Keeping things in perspective. And that's what we have to do. God speaking to you should humble you. Not to make you think you're somebody better than somebody else.
That's good. So the Lord asked Aaron and Miriam why they were not afraid to criticize Moses.
I'm going to tell you, you should be afraid of criticizing the one that God appoints, that, mm-hmm. that you should be afraid of that.
Right.
Why were you not afraid to criticize the one I put in that position? And then it says he became angry with Aaron and Miriam. Now, he had become angry with Aaron before and would have killed him had Moses not interceded for him.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so Moses wasn't saying, seek him, get him out of my way. No, he's not that way at all. He's interceding for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to find that's what he does here, but you'll have to wait till the next session. Because I've just been signaled that our time's up, okay?
Very good.
All right. I hope you get something out of this.
Yes.
All right. There's a lot in it. A lot in it. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great weekend.